This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tanner Bibee and who else? That's what the Guardians have to sort through this spring training and try and figure out exactly who's going to round out this rotation. We all think we know who it's going to be, but you never know exactly who it's going to be. And Castor Vince will have some insight for that. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to get it. He works for MLB.com. Big-time senior columnist, but a man who's willing to step up.
Oh, for sure.
Take one for the team.
Yes.
Covering the Guardians in lieu of Mandy Bell with a new gig. He's Anthony Castrovince. Hello, sir.
Hello, our friend.
Hello. You guys are looking for insight. I'm just here to work on my tan.
How's that going?
Here to gain insight.
Let me just put this simply. You suck. I'm just telling you that.
Yeah,
it's so nasty here. Still.
Yeah, I know.
It's supposed to get colder again today. Can't do this anymore. Send us some sun, will you please?
We were due for a real winter, weren't we?
Yeah, we were.
That's true. Tanner Bibee and who else? That's what we're wondering about the rotation.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Everybody else has a question mark behind his name in my book. Yours?
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, Luis Ortiz, he's in the rotation. Gavin Williams is in the rotation, right? Ben Lively.
But there's still question marks, aren't there?
Oh, no question.
On
no question. There's questions. Yeah, no, definitely. I am a big Tristan McKenzie stan, as the kids say, and he looks great. He looks strong.
He does. That's good to hear.
He is what he is. Like, his body is what it is. He's a lanky guy, but
he needs a cheeseburger.
Like, he was a crusty sports performance over the winter, and so he just looks stronger. He's in a good frame of mind. He's hitting 95 on the backfield, so we'll see. I mean, he starts the spring opener on Saturday, but that's a guy I root for, and so he's out of options too. So it would not shock me if he's in the mix at the start, and he's obviously had success in the past, so he's probably earned right of first refusal, I would think. But they haven't played a game yet, so we'll see.
Just kind of size up the rotation then for me. Like, well, how do you think this thing is going to play out? And I know we talk about Tristan there, but do you see a clear cut path to the starting five?
I don't know. I mean, everybody nowadays in MLB, it's like, hey, who's your starting nine? And I don't mean in the lineup. I mean, who are the nine starters you've identified as your guys going into the season? Because we know what happens. Guys grab their elbows. Teams give guys 5 days rest as opposed to 4 days rest these days. So, and just things happen, over the course of the year. So I feel better about their rotation outlook. This always happens. You spend enough time with a team in spring training and you start to get talked into things and see things and everybody looks good. But I do feel better about their depth today than I did a week ago. And some of that's a function of what they've done in the last week where, they'll have waves of guys available to them. Shane Bieber looks so good. They asked him to kind of scale back a little bit. Like he was a little too dialed up as far as how hard he's throwing this quickly. But he looked good. He's throwing strikes already. So that's good. They signed Jacob Junis since we got down here and he'll probably be more slated towards the bullpen, but he is a guy who can give them some volume and some length if need be. They signed John Means, and, you know, that's late season at the earliest, coming off his second Tommy John. But again, over the course of the year, you need reserves, you need replenishments, and that's somebody who could be available to them in the home stretch. So, and he's been very good in the past for the Orioles. So, and then you think about the young guys they have, you know, Joey Cantillo, obviously we saw him, last season. Doug Nicasi is a guy to watch. They like him a lot. And he actually threw against the big league club, you know, that layoff period between the end of the regular season and the division series, they had him come up and throw the big leaguers. He's a real fiery guy, like real competitive. And so they like him a lot. And there's other arms they like. So I don't know. I just think that they're probably in it. They're probably, you never know, you knock on wood, but they're probably in a better place rotation depth wise this year than they were last year. And look what they were able to accomplish last year, despite the rotation difficulties.
Anthony Castrovince joining us, MLB.com. I look at first base and I think, all right, I'll be able to figure out why they did this eventually, maybe. why did they do that?
I'm with you there. I was talking to someone from the front office a few days ago. I was saying, yeah, I can get behind this and this. Like, I understand, you know, they operate on a budget. We know that.
Sure. But they spent more money on Carlos than the Diamondbacks are spending on Josh.
I don't know. I mean, like, I get, like, the Jimenez trade, I get it. You know, like, he wasn't hitting his weight, you know, relative to what he's going to be making. Moving that contract was no small thing. So I get all that. But, yeah, Carlos Santana, like, immediately pivoting to a guy who's darn near my age, and I know how I feel on a daily basis. you know, for $12 million on a limited budget, I mean, he's going to be making like 15% of the payroll, I think. You know, that puzzles me. So I love Carlos Santana, and I know they do too. And he is a great clubhouse presence, all those intangibles, you know, I get that. And he's really made himself into a very good defender at first base. And he does great work to keep himself conditioned. You know, he's the second oldest position player in MLB at this point. You know, now that Justin Turner signed with the Cubs, but I just don't get it when the complexion of the lineup against right-handed pitching it doesn't look great to me. David Fry is not available to them in the first couple of the year. So you're basically going to have Santana as an everyday player, him and Manzardo, you know, split DH/first base. And, you know, his numbers against right-handers were not good last year. And he's also a traditionally slow starter, you know, so there's that too. So, and he's 38 years old, 39 years old at the home opener is his birthday. So you run the risk of kind of wearing him down in the first part of the schedule, you know, until Fry gets back. So I'm with you. Like, that's my biggest concern about this club is just how are they going to perform against right-handed pitching?
How about we were throwing this name around too, just because they picked him up in the offseason. We're just wondering, and we think his name is super cool. Slade Ciccone, the pitcher. Is he a starter? Is he a reliever? What's the deal with him?
Well, first of all, and you pronounced it correctly, by the way, Ciccone. But I gave him some grief, and I have the same issue in my family. Like,
yeah,
we're pronouncing our names wrong. Our ancestors would be furious. You know, I should be Castrovince and he should be Ciccone.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
so
yeah,
what is the right way to say it? Did I say it wrong?
No, you said it correctly. Oh, okay. That's how he goes by Ciccone. Yeah.
Okay.
He goes by Ciccone.
Ciccone's a lot more fun though. Ciccone. You're right.
Ciccone is so much more fun. So now every time I walk by him, I give him a little you know, put the fingers together as we Italians do.
Well, I gotta tell you, and your brother, because your brother was on the air,
yeah.
You're Castrovince, and he was Castrovince.
He was like, it was even he was doing it wrong. You got to really, if you're going to do it, you got to really do it. Castrovince,
especially in Youngstown. Let's be honest, man. You don't want to mess around with that.
Oh man, Youngstown just has the absolute best pizza in Northeast Ohio. But anyway, Ciccone's got really good stuff, and they obviously like him. They got him in the Naylor trade, and to answer your question, we don't know exactly starting or bullpen. You know, that's going to depend where the need arises, but he's got the stuff to do either. He's another reason that you just feel good about the depth, because they have an established track record here of helping guys reach their ceiling. And I was just talking to Carl Willis and reflecting on the fact that, you know, Carl Willis has been, forget his playing career, you know, way back when, like, he's been coaching forever and the game has changed so much, but they're so good about implementing data, but also being human beings, you know, and like knowing how to translate that for guys, and Carl's so good at that. So they just have a track record here of figuring out with a guy like Ciccone, who has great raw stuff, but it just at the big league, you know, it just hasn't translated well to this point. But if anybody can do it, it's this organization.
We think it's kind of fun this year because there are actually some position fights and, you know, who's going to finish where,
yeah,
what's going to happen.
It is, yeah. It's like a legit, you know, you don't see that a lot anymore. You know, a position battle is like, it's usually been decided by the time we get here. And options and stuff like that always play into it. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's legit, like, somebody could have a great camp and be the starting second baseman and run with it if, you know, that opportunity is there for you.
We have a little shtick that we're doing, the race for second base. Catchy, huh?
Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
You can steal it if you want.
Mandy told us that she thinks Gabe Arias is the leader right now. So we thought, okay, race, we get it. We'll rank these guys. I put Juan Brito on top, and then followed by Arias because he's out of options and he hit well in AAA and blah, 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 blah. I can't imagine that he's your starting second baseman. How would you rank these guys? Because you have Brito. I have them this way. Brito, Arias, Angel Martinez, Tyler Freeman, Daniel Schneeman.
Yeah, Freeman and Schneeman in the second base race is a...
it's something.
A Dr. Seuss waiting to happen. I see Freeman and Schneeman as more on the periphery, like more utility type. And so then you get into the other three you mentioned. And, you know, again, they haven't played a game yet, so we'll see. But Arias is out of minor league options. So, like, there's always, you know, that's probably why Mandy said that. You know, you always want to, like, exhaust every opportunity to see a guy before you make a decision like that. So that wouldn't shock me. But I will say that Angel Martinez, like, he had a great spring last year, and I know his numbers at the big league level were nothing exciting, but he did get that first exposure, and they like him a lot. He's just got a great attitude and vibe about him, and I would not be surprised if he comes in here and sees at the moment. That's just that's a total, like, we haven't played an inning yet, but that's just my take on it.
All right, so give me your expectations for the season then. Because last year I was meh. I was meh. They didn't really do anything other than switch managers. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of going to go into this season the same way, so I don't, one, get my heart broken, but two, if good things happen, good things happen, and I'll be happy for it.
Yeah, it's just like I was saying earlier, like you come here with one frame of mind and you leave with another, and that happened no matter what team you hang out with in spring training. Like, listen to a baseball reporter give his take on the upcoming season, and he's always going to talk up the team he just happened to be with the day before. Never fails.
Always does. You're 100% right.
It always seeps into you. I came here with an expectation, and it might still be my expectation at the start of the season, that, you know, the bullpen will probably regress, right? I mean, it has to. It was historically great last year, and you used those guys so hard, you know, 70 appearances apiece for your four big dogs in the back end. So you just assume they're going to regress, and that means the team would regress as well. But I will say, I mean, they still have more coming on the bullpen front, man. They still have some just dudes in their system. Franco Alleman is like the guy who's like, holy cow, he walks past you. And he just looks the part. And second half of the year last year, I mean, nobody could score off the guy, and he was throwing dots in his bullpen. So you see stuff like that. It's like, oh, I guess they could probably figure it out, you know, and they've added some arms. You know, obviously Paul Sewald was their big offseason acquisition. And I mentioned Jacob Junis earlier, he'll pitch out of the bullpen. So, you know, they could withstand the rigors of whatever regression is coming for that group. And if you have a good bullpen, you know, that's sometimes half the battle, but I do worry about scoring runs. But I mean, I have, you can go up and down and with question marks on all the clubs in the AL Central. You know, the Tigers were able to make some improvements this winter, but I don't know that it was necessarily like, you know, a huge, I thought they would be the club that would come out of the winter like, okay, that's the clear favorite in the AL Central, given the strides they made last season and the money they had to spend. And it's not really the case. It's that they're good, no doubt, but I don't think it's like an overpowering favorite. The Royals are regression candidates, you know, with their pitching staff, but that's a good organization. So it should be a fun division. I think the Twins are probably better than we assumed, just because they were worse than we assumed last year, and not a whole lot has changed. If they have better health, you know, they'll be a better club. So, it should be a fun division. I just know the White Sox aren't going to win it. That's all I can tell you.
But the Twins don't have Carlos Santana anymore.
That's true.
That's right.
So there
that's
you go.
Right. Stole him. Pilfered him.
Hey, thanks, buddy. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ken Cervinze. Yes.
Good to hear from you. Always a pleasure.
Anthony Kastrovitz joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.